Welcome to Live with Lon. I'm so glad that you're with me today. Today, we're going to be continuing in John chapter 12 as we go in John's Gospel, catching up to the Last Supper that we've already reached in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And then we're going to put them all together, the four Gospels, and continue from the Last Supper through, of course, the Resurrection. So, that's the plan, and let's begin. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege of studying your word today in a free and open way. We don't have to hide for fear of what the government might do to us or other people might do to us. And Lord, as long as we have that freedom in this country, help us to use it to spread the gospel and to help people who are walking in darkness walk in darkness no more. That's what we're going to talk about today. And so, Lord Jesus, open our hearts, inspire and illuminate our spirits, and God, speak to our souls. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. Now, of course, we have a lot of things going on politically in America right now. What with the attempted assassination of former President Trump, and then with the decision by President Biden that he's not running for re-election, and all of this. And all I can say is, thank God that he is in control, because otherwise I would be terrified for our country. And I am concerned for our country, honestly. But I take great comfort in knowing God is in control. All of this has been scripted before the ages began, and we are right on schedule. Even though I don't understand what on schedule might mean exactly, I believe God, that he is sovereign and he has control. And I hope that'll bring great comfort to your heart as well. All right, now let's dig into the scripture. John chapter 12, verse 37, that even though Jesus had done so many signs before them, the Jewish people, they did not believe him, that the word of Isaiah would be fulfilled. God has blinded their eyes and stopped up their ears and brought darkness to their minds so they can't understand. Last week, of course, we talked about the Pharisees, many of whom the Bible says believed in Jesus, but they would not go public about it, lest they be put out of the synagogue, which the ruling rabbis had threatened to do to anyone who confessed Jesus as Messiah. Watch verse 43, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. We talked about that last week. Now this week, let's pick up right there, verse 44. Then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. This is a tremendous confirmation of the Trinity and the fact that the persons in the Trinity are co-substantial, meaning they're made out of the very same material. They're exactly the same, even though the persons are different. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Godhead in each of them, that each of them shares in, is exactly the same. They are co-substantial. They are made out of the same substance. So if you've seen one of them, you've seen all of them. And yet, they're all separate. Don't ask me. Nobody understands that, but we believe it, because the Bible teaches it. So, we who've seen the Lord Jesus, we've seen God the Father. Remember what Jesus is going to say in the next chapter, chapter 14, verse 9. He's going to say, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? Watch, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So why do you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe in me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works, the miracles I've been doing themselves." All right, this is what Jesus is talking about here. When we believe him, when we see him, when we believe his words, we're believing what God the Father believes and says, for they are co-substantial. See one, see all three. But they're different. But they're the same. But they're different. But they're the same. Now, next verse. I have come as a light into the world, verse 46, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Now, this goes along with a verse earlier, verse 35. Jesus said to them, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you, for he who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. Whoever believes in me, I've come into light into the world," verse 46, "that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." Folks, I did a message years ago that was entitled, "Four Things We All Need for Christmas." And what I said in that message is that there are four things that every one of us needs to be a happy, healthy, fulfilled human being. And here they are. Let's put them on the screen. Number one, we need purpose in life. Number two, we need power over the evil that lives inside of us and is all around us. Number three, we need peace of mind. And number four, we need assurance about immortality. Those are the four things we need. And under number one, we all need purpose in living. I'm not talking about a human purpose in living. I have a purpose in living, which is to be a lawyer. I have purpose in living, which is to be a doctor or mother or an accountant or a plumber or an electrician or whatever. No, I'm not talking about that. Yes, of course, that gives us some purpose in life. I'm talking to be fulfilled. As human beings, we need a transcendent purpose for life. Why do I wake up in the morning? To be an electrician? That's not enough of a purpose to satisfy forever. No. To be a plumber, to be a lawyer, to be a doctor? No. We need something that transcends this world. An eternal purpose for living, a supernatural purpose for living. And what is that purpose for living? Well, Jesus is talking about it here. He says, look back, verse 35 of chapter 12, "For he who walks in darkness does not know where he's going." Verse 46, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me shall not walk in darkness. There are many people who are doctors, lawyers, plumbers, electricians, stay-at-home moms, the butchers, bakers, and candlestick makers, but they're walking in darkness. They don't know where they're going. They have no reason why they're here on earth that they can think of. They don't know why they wake up in the morning. They don't know why they exist. They have no transcendental meaning to their life. That's walking in darkness, not knowing where you're going. That was me for the first 22 years of my life. And it got worse the older I got. I had no idea what I was doing here on earth. I had no idea why I got up in the morning. I had no idea why I existed. I was walking in complete darkness when it came to having that kind of transcendent purpose for life. And I felt it more and more as the years went on. There's a song now that's popular. He picked me up, he turned me round, he placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. You know the song? Well, earlier in the song, one of the lines is, I was a vagabond. I was wandering in the night. I didn't know where I was going or what I was doing. That was me. That was exactly me. And then it goes on to say, and just when I ran out of road, I met a man I didn't know. And he showed me that I was not alone. Boy, is that true of me. The first time I heard this song, I was like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what happened to me. I was finishing college. I had no idea what was coming next. I had no marketable skill. I had no money to go to graduate school. I had nothing. I had no idea what was going on. I had no idea why I woke up in the morning. I had no idea why I was alive. And I kept saying to my friends, you know, if I don't even know why I'm alive, why should I spend the next 40 or 50 years working a job, getting married, having kids? I don't even know what I'm doing here. I don't even know why I'm here. Boy, man, talk about a vagabond. That was me. And just when I ran out of road in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, I mean, I literally ran out of road. I finished college. I had no idea where I was going next. No idea what to do next. Just when I ran out of road, 1971, Bob Eckhart showed up on the streets of Chapel Hill. I met a man I didn't know. And he told me that I was not alone. Now, I think that that means Jesus in the song. And I did meet Jesus, who was a man I didn't know. But I also met Bob Eckhart, who was a man I didn't know. He took out the Bible, told me I wasn't alone, introduced me to Jesus Christ. My whole world changed. There are people, millions and millions and billions of people, just like I was. They have no idea what they're doing here. They have no supernatural transcendent reason for why they're alive, what their purpose in life is. Jesus says, right here, he says, he who walks in darkness, verse 35, doesn't know where he's going. Well, that was me. And then he says, whoever believes in me shall not abide in darkness. Wow, that was sure true of me. Listen to what else he says here. Let me give you a couple other verses. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Ah, look at that. But shall have the light of life. How wonderful is that? 1 Peter chapter 2, talking to believers here, says verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Watch. that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He, Jesus, has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his Son. Wow, how great is that? From the power of darkness. There's a great power the Bible talks about that exists in the darkness. It's the power of the enemy who blinds us to the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He has blinded the eyes of the unbelieving so that the light of the glory of the gospel won't shine through. And how about, finally, Matthew chapter 4. The Bible says Jesus fulfilled this Old Testament messianic prophecy, verse 16, the people who sat in darkness, talking about the Gentiles here, have seen a great light, and those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned on them. Talking about the Gentiles, this is quoting Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, which says that he, the Messiah, shall go to the other side of the Jordan, to Galilee of the Gentiles, and there with the Gentiles, these people who walk in darkness will see a great light, and those who live in a dark land, the light will shine upon them. Praise the Lord. So this is what Jesus offers to do for you and me. As Colossians chapter 1 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his Son. There you go. Praise the Lord, huh? Praise the Lord that when you reach the end of your road, like I did, when you're a vagabond in this world, you have no idea where you're going or what you're doing, and you need a purpose in life so deeply in here that makes it worth getting up every morning. Praise the Lord, there's a solution. Praise the Lord, we have something to offer people like that. Praise the Lord that we can help them with that problem. Because we know the one who, when you believe in him, you no longer walk in darkness. But he translates you into the kingdom of his Son, and now you walk in the light. How great is that? Now, that's the end of our passage, but I want us now to ask our most important question. Are you ready? Come on, what is it? One, two, three. So what? Yeah. And where's my buddy, Jackie? Where is he? Jackie Gleason. Here he is. What do we say about God doing this for us? We say, come on. How sweet it is. How sweet it is. Jackie used to say it, how sweet it is. We can do it either way. How sweet it is. How great is this? Now, what is this purpose? You say, Lon, this is great. But you still haven't told me what this purpose is that Jesus supplies to our life. When we believe in him, he delivers us from darkness, and he gives us the light of life. But what is it? Well, this is what I want you to take home with you. You ready? I'm going to read it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this sums it up. I mean, this is the Bible, of course. I can't do anything that improves on the Bible, but even if I could, I can't. Okay, I hope that made sense. Now, listen to what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says. Verse 14, Paul writing to believers, look what he says. He says, for the love of Christ constrains us, pushes us, motivates us because we judge this, that if one died for all, meaning all of us as believers, then all of us died. And he died for all, that those who live for him. Look at this now, verse 15, and he, Jesus, died for all of us who are believers, watch, that those who live here on earth, continue to live, should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Here it is. Here's our new purpose in life, that those of us who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him. There you go, baby. You got it. That says it as simply as it can be said. Why do I get up in the morning? To live for him. Why do I go out of my house in the morning? To live for him. Why do I go and do my job or whatever? I do it unto him. And why do I have my family? I do it unto him. I get up in the morning and go through all of my day for him, not for myself. We should no longer live for ourselves, but for him. We no longer live for our own glory. We live for his. We no longer live for our own reputation. We live for his. We no longer live for our own benefit. We live for his. We no longer live for our own laurels. We live for him. We no longer live for our own praise. We live for his. We no longer live for our own glory. We live for his. We no longer live for our own renown. We live for his. We no longer live to put the spotlight on ourselves. We live so that we can put the spotlight on Jesus. We live for him, not ourselves. And this is our new transcendent purpose in life. Why do I get up in the morning? To live for him, not myself. Living for yourself, my friends, I hope you've discovered this, is a pretty puny purpose for life. So what if you and I achieve great things? So what if you and I become famous? So what if you and I become rich? So what if you and I become powerful? Look, let me tell you something. All of that goes away in an instant. I heard a guy one time say to me, there's nothing deader than yesterday's executive. How true that is. You know, the Eagles have a song. There's a new kid in town. And they will never forget you, they say in that song, till somebody new comes around. Well, how true that is. Baby, you can be the biggest executive on earth. And as soon as you're no longer that executive and the new kids come along, people don't even want to hear from you. Nothing's deader than yesterday's executive. All the money, all the fame, all the power, gone. I mean, ex-presidents, anybody interested in hearing from them? No, they go. They know what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to go away and play golf and just get out of the pub. No. Who cares anymore? That's the way life is. But we're not to live for our own fame, riches, power, renown, reputation, fame. We're to live for his. And that doesn't go away because he's an eternal executive of the universe. He is the eternal executive of the universe. And he doesn't retire. he doesn't leave the company. No. And those things, his fame, his fortune, his glory, his renown, those are eternal. So, let me encourage you, my dear friends. If somebody ever asks you the purpose why you're alive, you know the exact answer. For him. You don't live, I'm not living for myself, I'm living for him. His glory, his fame, his renown, the spotlight on him, I'm living for him. All of my life is devoted to bringing glory and reputation to him. It's as simple as that. That's as simple as it can be. This is why Paul says to us in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, and I want to quote it to you from the Revised Standard Version because I really like that translation of these of this verse. It says, let's put it on the screen, Romans 12, 11, never flag in zeal, be aglow with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, serve the Lord. This is what it means to live for him, my friends. Look, never flag in zeal for him. Be aglow with the Holy Spirit, because we've had our time with him, and we've confessed our sins to him, and we've asked him to fill us. And number three, serve the Lord. Not yourself. Serve the Lord. This is putting it as practically as we can. Never flag in zeal for the Lord. Always be excited about him. Number two, be aglow with the Spirit. Number three, serve the Lord, not ourselves. Wow, what a great verse. Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Man, now that's a reason to get up in the morning. And so I urge you, just like I urge myself, let's rekindle this purpose for life in ourselves. It's easy to lose focus. It's easy to get off the rails and off into left field somewhere. Let's never forget why we're here once we come to Christ. Let's never forget the main thing. And we need to keep the main thing, the main thing. And what is the main thing? We are no longer to live for ourselves, 2 Corinthians 5, but for him. And that means what? That means never flag in zeal, be aglow with the Holy Spirit shining through us, and serve not myself, but the Lord. Let's rekindle that in our lives. Lord Jesus, if we have backslidden, if we have cooled off, Lord, if we have gotten distracted by the world around us, Lord, if we have lost our first love, meaning you, Lord, if our train has come off the rails and is over in left field somewhere, and honestly, we're serving ourselves more than we're serving you, and honestly, we are not living for you as much as we're living for ourselves. Dear Jesus, rock us today back into our right mind. Rock us today back into a biblical purpose for living. Our biblical purpose for living. And Lord, help us repent and return to you. And Lord, help us to not flag in zeal for you, to be aglow with your Spirit, and to serve the Lord and not ourselves. Make it that transcendent purpose for living that all of us have as believers. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. Now, thanks for joining us. Next week, We're going to do the very same verse from Romans chapter 12. You say, well, you just did it. I know, but remember what I used to teach my students when I taught them how to preach in seminary. If you have two great so what's that can both come out of the same verse, don't try to crowd them both in the same message. You'll dilute the impact of both of them. Preach two messages on the verse. No, there's no law. It says you can't preach the same verse twice if the so what is different. So next week, same verse, but different so what. So join us. God bless you. And let's all live for Him. Praise the Lord.